Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight is all about how Lamb of God chooses to give his sinners the salvation that he won and achieved on the cross. The question then is, how in the world does he do that? How does he give you the gift of what he wins? Through words. That's it. Through words. Something so simple. That is how Jesus gives his gifts. He preaches. He speaks. What he says, he does. What he promises, he gives. On the night when he was betrayed, Lamb of God Jesus preaches a Passover sermon. A sermon that had never been preached before, never been heard by the likes of men ever. It was brand new. Just as God spoke the world into existence at the beginning in the sermon of creation, on the night before Jesus dies, the God-man speaks. He creates a gift for sinners simply by preaching a sermon. And so God opens his mouth, and it means these are God's words. It's his last will and testament. In anticipation of his Good Friday death, the time has grown short, and now it's now or never. Now it's either Jesus has to give his final gift to the disciples, or he doesn't have a chance to. And so Jesus opens his mouth and he says, "Take, eat. This bread is my body." And he takes a cup. When he had given thanks, he said to them, "Take, drink, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is what Jesus leaves behind. This is the only thing he has to give. And look around at who's sitting there at the Passover table. Look at who gets to receive the gift. First, James and John. We know them as the sons of thunder, always quarreling back and forth about who gets to be greatest, who gets to be in charge once Jesus is gone. And then there's all the rest of the 12 who hate them because that's what they aspire to. Seated very closely to them, you have Iscariot, Judas, the thief who is going to commit one of the most notorious and outrageous betrayals known to man. The worst thing anyone has ever heard of in human history, and he's there to receive this supper. Peter, James, and John, Jesus' inner three, so to speak, well, they're there too. And what are they going to be found doing just a few hours later? Jesus is in great turmoil, praying to his Father, and they're sleeping soundly, with no consideration for their Savior whatsoever. And Peter's confession that even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you, quickly turns into curses and lies that he's never known Jesus at all. The truth is that Jesus is surrounded by hardcore sinners, the worst, literally the worst. People who don't get it, people who don't understand, even after so much instruction, so much teaching, so much of receiving from Jesus, all the miracles, and yet here they are, still stuck in their sin, and no matter what they do, they can't stop it. But the truth is that there's nowhere else that Jesus would rather be. Certainly, he's surrounded by people who despise him, think that he is somebody who is very small, somebody who's not really that worthwhile. After all, that's what all of their actions are saying. And yet, this is where Jesus wants to be. He knows exactly what he's doing. Even in our text today, it shows us that Jesus, he put together all the right preparations. Hey, look, you're going to go into town. You're going to follow a guy with a water jar. And there you're going to find everything ready for us. He literally sets up everything, every single fact, every single little detail that needs to be accomplished for Jesus to do the Passover, and it's done. And then even before he actually gives it, he identifies Judas. He identifies his betrayer. He pronounces divine judgment on him. And yet Judas is still amongst those who receive Jesus' body and blood in this sacrament. His Good Friday body and blood, given with bread and wine, simply because God says so. You see, what Jesus says, Jesus does. And you, like all those sinners gathered around the first Passover table, are named as recipients of such a gift. Heirs. Those who are to receive Jesus' last will and testament. Those who are to become those who get the blessing of everything that Jesus leaves behind. Given to receive the eternal inheritance that is due to you. Jesus promises that his body and blood are given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Because the truth is that your sins might be a little different than Peter, James, and John. They might be a little bit different than Judas Iscariot. They might be a little bit different than James and John, who are always trying to be in charge. Certainly these might be your sins, but you might have something that is totally different than what they experienced. But your sin is no less real. And it means that Jesus wants to be surrounded with no one else except you. It was all divinely instituted. It was all, you know, God put together all of the details, and he wanted you to be here on this very night to receive from him. Like all wills, this one too is read aloud. In fact, we read it aloud almost every Sunday. And yet this one, like some wills, unfortunately, we hear about, gets contested. Some people will flat out reject it. Body? Blood? Well, to my human mind, it just looks like bread and wine. And how gross is that anyway, right? Eating body and blood? Is this some sort of religious cult like cannibalism? And forgiveness? Who needs it? I'll just focus on those words, remember. I won't actually focus on what Jesus' words actually said. This is my body. This is my blood. And it is given for you for forgiveness. But people don't like that. And so Jesus' last will gets contested. Others like Satan, death, and the world, they'll accuse. They'll bind and condemn you in your sin. They'll say, look at you. You call yourself a Christian. Really? You're no better than Iscariot. You're just like Peter. In fact, you probably have more sin. After all, they got to follow Jesus for 3 years. At least they had this concrete certainty that Jesus never left them because obviously he sort of carried them along for so long. You've got down betraying and denying Jesus. You're an expert. According to everything you've thought, everything you've done, every word you've spoken, you don't have the right to Jesus' will. That's how Satan tries to deceive you and me and everybody else. He says, Jesus doesn't mean you. But nothing could be further from the truth. What do you do in light of Satan's accusations? What can you say? Can you say anything? Of course you can. See, it's no secret that sometimes in life our sin brings us down. We feel unworthy to be called Christians. We feel unworthy to receive the sacrament. We feel like Jesus has done everything for me, and yet here am I, still a poor, miserable sinner, and I can't even overcome those little ones. And so what can we do? Tell the truth. You've been caught red-handed. Just own up to it. Confess it. Yes, that is exactly right. I am a sinner. Truly, I have betrayed Christ. I have denied him. I have sinned against him. I've colluded in his death. I have given him up, and I ran from him in his hour of need. I helped pound those spikes into his hand. I helped drive them into his feet. I might as well have been the one holding the whip to hamburger meat his back. But the truth is that even though I've done all of these awful sins against the Son of God, this Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, he still died for me. He still died for you. And he still names you as an heir. He still names you as someone whom his whole estate, his eternal life, his kingdom, it belongs to you. And so do as he commands. Eat, drink, body and blood in with and under wine, and receive the promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Yes, Lamb of God, Jesus gives his estate to you. He gives you forgiveness in the sacrament. Because the truth is, you are those who need it. No, while Jesus was still ministering to the people before his crucifixion, he told us that only the sick need a physician. And truthfully, we can admit that we've all contracted this sickness that we call sin. So the next day, Jesus does something about it. He does something about sin. He goes to his Good Friday death and he is crucified. After all, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And at the moment that he dies, that is when his last will and testament goes into effect. He says, so every time you hear the words of institution, in the divine service, those words are not your pastor's words. They're Jesus' words. Every time you hear the words of institution, it is a public proclamation and reading of God's will, Jesus' will and testament to you. Because just as Jesus had every detail of the upper room situated at the first Passover, he has every detail situated at this Passover. Today, on March 29th, 2018, he knew that you would come to this upper room, to this sanctuary, to kneel at this altar and to receive his very body and blood, because this is what Jesus does. And what Jesus says, Jesus does. And what Jesus does, Jesus says. My friends, tonight Jesus has called you a sinner, but he's called you his own sinner. The sinner who so desperately needs this body in with and under bread, and his blood in with and under a cup of wine. This meal on the altar today, it's for you. And with such a promise from the Lamb of God, Jesus gives you exactly what he says: forgiveness, life, and salvation. For tonight, we behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.